Hi, I'm Ashley Appa.
And I'm Hayley Tanto.
Welcome to Call an Adult, a Pretty Little Liars recap podcast.
Each week, we'll dive headfirst into the absolutely bonkers world of PLL as we recap the iconic series.
Where everyone is hot.
And no one calls an adult.
Let's go, bitches.
Ay. What's up?
Hey, what's up? Hey fam, what's up? Welcome to PLL Nation, CAA Nation, seeing you and AAing you. Whoa!
Imagine if we were like radio presenters and we'd have to be like, hey everyone, welcome back.
I mean, sometimes we do start by being like, ooh, which is, I guess, is our version of, hey guys.
Hey guys, except we go, ooh, hello. Ooh.
Except we're like jiggly ghosts. Ooh.
I love being a jiggly ghost.
You're my favorite jiggly ghost.
How are you? How are you?
I'm jiggly. How are you?
I'm good. I'm jiggly. I'm a ghost and I'm very happy to be here.
Me too.
Chatting to you about season 4, episode 4, FaceTime.
FaceTime, which did not exist. Did it exist in 2013, FaceTime? Okay. The Google will be Googling.
FaceTime invented.
We are very excited to be
June 2010.
Oh my god. So what
Steve
did exist?
Jobs unveiled FaceTime to the public.
Steve Jobs, rip,
may he rest.
May he. Hayley, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm excited to get into this episode.
Me too.
I'm excited for some people, for some characters that like make their appearance in this episode.
Oh yeah.
So I'm keen to get into it. Honestly.
Let's just go.
Another episode at Hector's House of Wax.
Oh god, we're back.
You know,
back by the lake.
It feels good.
It feels good. It feels good to be home in Rosewood. Or somewhere nearby, because I feel like we would have seen this house before.
Rosewood grow like
Rosewood more like Grosswood.
The urban sprawl of Rosewood is like things just keep appearing.
Grosswood.
All right.
We are today recapping season 4, episode 4. 4-4, if you will. And we will. FaceTime, which was directed by King Norman Buckley and written by King Joseph Doherty, the same people who wrote and directed last week's episode.
Two cracking eps.
A sleigh, because they do kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah.
This episode came out on July 2nd, 2013. So, of course, happy birthday to any July 2nd babies out there. Birthday
happy
babies.
Birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you, Margot Robbie. Queen, Australiana Queen.
Donna Freeman from Neighbours.
It's a big
and other things.
It's a big day for Queen's birthdays because it's happy birthday to Margot Robbie. Happy birthday to Lindsay Lohan. Happy birthday to Ashley Tisdale.
Oh my god.
We don't need another he said, she said. Okay. Happy birthday to scrolling. Larry David.
Oh my god, this is like a god tier birthday
list.
It's an
important birthday. Happy birthday.
I like how we before you're like people might be able to like hear us outside this recording room and now we're like
happy birthday
Tori DeVito.
Tori DeVito, important.
That will happen soon.
That will happen very
spoiler.
Soon. Spoiler. That's it. That's everything.
I think that's like a great list.
It's a powerhouse list.
Don't change it.
Don't change your birthday for the world.
Now you've got, we don't need another he said, she said.
Important.
Is that the, does that go like, don't you know what you'll be missing? No, that's a different song. What's like
the verses are like, girl, look at the spot. She's so bump, bump. Yeah.
But, and then the chorus, like the verses are like that. And then the chorus is, I think like really good between like that verse and like the he said she said.
Oh, why can't I remember it? Wow, what a bad Ashley Tisdale stan I am.
I'm so I just have to like otherwise I'll keep like blanking like I'll keep seeing my. Oh my god, I love the start of it.
Oh, important.
Oh. Sorry, wait. I will keep talking so that it's.
Baby, I can see us kissing like that. He said, you're amazing. He said, girl, why are you hating? No more deliberating.
That's so like Hannah coded. Like,
oh, it's Hannah coded.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry, thank you for bearing. I just truly, once you like were like, he said, she said, and then kept like moving on. I think my face just went like trying to think of the chorus.
Impeccable, important Ashley Tisdale culture. All right. Now, Hayley, it's time for you to guess what the number one song was on the release date of this episode, which was July 2nd, 2013.
Great. I'm ready.
Okay. Was it Heart Attack by my girl, Demi Lovato? I believe she has returned to using she pronouns.
So yes.
I'm confident in saying girl.
Yes, I think so.
Also an impeccable song. Is it Blurred Lines?
Yeah, no, you're only.
Robin Thicke featuring T.I. and Pharrell.
Unfortunately, already is where my voice is going.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, I did. Iconopop and Charlie XCX.
Of course.
The KFC ad. At least here.
Okay, people from other places, tell us if you have the same ad. Because all our KFC ads are someone doing something they don't want to do.
Yeah, seeing
getting caught by something. Seeing an ad for KFC and going,
shut up and take my money. And then it like slow-mo them eating like the chicken. It's like, I don't care. I love it. I hate it. And now, a lot of other ads are kind of stealing that thing of, like, weird thing caught out and then the product.
Product play.
With, like, a
intense
song.
Anyway,
I'm going to back Blurred Lines one more time.
One last time. The people will choose Blurred Lines.
It's true. And I am the people.
And you are.
I do think Iconopop's going to sneak up there, but let's be real.
Is that your
final
answer?
It was the summer of Blurred Lines, yes. Unfortunately.
People, unfortunately, it was the summer of Blurred Lines. Hayley's correct.
Unfortunately, but I love being right.
Woo!
You know you want it.
Mm-hmm. You know what I want? You to tell me what the Australian streaming service Stan has to say.
I just
want to
say the one thing I hate about Blurred Lines is the bit where it goes like, it's like, mm-hmm. You want to hug me? What rhymes with hug me? Yeah. Like, I hate that.
That's actually my favorite.
Because I'm like, what, fug me?
Fug me.
Fug?
I mean, fug is lore. Fug. It is Andrew Cunanan in this show.
It's like Robin Thicke's like, yeah. But I'm like, the fug? Grow up.
Fug. You know what what another equivalent to that is that I like? Is that the same song or is it a different Macklemore song? Picture me with a Kodak. No, it's Pitbull. And then he rhymes Kodak with
Kodak.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I give Pitbull a pass.
That man can do anything.
Always.
Dale.
That's a great tonight. I'm
loving you tonight.
Anyway, here's what Australian streaming service Stan says.
Okay. Yell along with us if you know what's coming.
Spencer lays it, and you yell with me as well.
I'm gonna yell with you, of course.
Spencer lays a trap for Melissa.
Tori DeVito!
I wish our like non-Australian listeners could look up Stan to like see, even though it literally is just the sentence and then in brackets in all caps the name. But
you know what?
I just wish people could like come for the ride.
They do with us telling them.
That's true.
And that's the service that we offer. That's the only really thing we're giving to you, I guess. And we're grateful that we can. It'll be so sad if suddenly it's not on Stan anymore. If they like, often when things go off one streaming platform, it shows up on another one.
Because it is also on Binge.
Binge, as I call it.
What?
Being gay.
Being
gay.
At least like being gay, as I call it. I'm like,
part. Binge. Or as I call it, being gay.
Being gay. Binge.
Binge. Okay. It's time.
12-year-olds?
To hear from 12-year-olds, of course, who are the little cunts. Compliment. Who write the wicked, write, in quotation marks, derogatory, the PLL episode descriptions on Wikipedia. Okay. I'm going to swallow all my spit.
And I'm going to drink water.
Okay, sip break. Okay. Hannah, Ashley, and Caleb meet Lieutenant. I couldn't get through one sentence because I saw the word Lieutenant and my brain read the word Lieutenant as De Laurentiis.
A lot of L's, I's, T's, and E.
This show has ruined my brain. Okay. I hope you're all happy because I'm very happy.
I'm happy.
Hannah, Ashley, and Caleb meet Lieutenant Linda Tanner, Detective Holbrook's partner. Due to the investigation of Wilden's safety deposit box, the bank forbade Ashley from accessing the vault. Hannah and Caleb remain suspicious of whether Ashley is guilty of a crime. Emily revisits Dr. Vargas, who informs her that he was the one that called family services and that MRI shows that Emily has a tear in her rotator cuff. Toby visits Dr. Palmer, who discusses his mother's suicide. He refers to his mother being a victim of the air being too heavy. That sentence, 12-year-olds do better. As Toby leaves, Dr. Palmer asks him to tell his mother to keep away from the blonde girl, probably referring to Allison. Okay, the 12-year-olds, that's conjecture.
Yeah, yeah, supposed that's to be just, editorial.
That is not, okay. Aria has an awkward encounter with Malcolm, which causes a temporary riff in her and Jake's relationship.
And it's Malcolm didn't make that awkward.
No.
He's a child. Like, I don't know. It's a weird sentence.
This is maybe one of the 12-year-olds' worst. I love you, 12-year-olds, but it's really not your best one. Spencer admits to her mother and Melissa that she did not get into UPenn. Spencer and Aria follow Melissa to Hector Lime's shop, where Spencer corners Melissa and demands answers. Melissa explains that Wilden set the fire at the lodge at Thornhill and that she sent Jenna and Shana to watch over Spencer and her friends. Furthermore? These 12-year-olds really throwing us for a loop. Furthermore, Melissa confesses that she was the second Queen of Hearts on the Halloween train, but did not know Wilden's plan to assassinate Spencer and Aria until she was on the train. A texts Aria and Spencer saying that Melissa is not A material. A ending, A holds a broken mask of Melissa as A glues broken pieces together. This episode is wild and infuriating in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I think this is... There are moments that I was like, okay, I'm sick of some things in this show, but we'll get to them.
I need to hydrate my lips. This is how.
A big pawpaw.
A big pawpaw for my big smoochies. Okay.
So at the Fields house, War house, Papa Fields has returned home. He's getting out of a taxi. It's crazy inconvenient timing. He's just getting home. He's in his war outfit.
He's in his war kit.
He's in his war kit.
He's in his war garb.
He's in his gear. And but just
meaning Emily's, camouflage.
He's in camo.
Yeah.
But just as he's getting home, Emily's going to school. Take the morning off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's a dad.
And also, can I say that before this, the first thing we see of the whole episode is an aerial view of Rosewood.
Yes.
Which was beautiful. And I was like, we don't see the top of, like, show us more of this.
That was like weird compliment.
It was.
But it was, yeah, I didn't write that down. But it was interesting.
It was beautiful. Also, just on the camouflage, I wrote, Papa Fields back. At least I think so. All I see is his head floating. Because he's wearing camouflage. Thank you.
That's good.
Then Caleb tells Hannah about the gun, her dad's gun that was missing after Ashley Marin came in and was like, I need more money than you have. And then she disappeared when he came back and then his gun was gone. So now they're like, oh, God. That's not good.
The gun was a 38.
Which is...
I know nothing about guns.
Me neither.
All I know is about John Howard buying them back in 1999 or some year.
And you know what he paid for? Every year since his eyebrows have gotten 1 centimeter thicker. If you know, you know. And we are grateful for him for
that.
That. Then
he was a prime minister. Sorry, for context, he was a prime minister. You can look the rest up.
But he has huge eyebrows.
Crazy eyebrows.
But
and he
also
did one very good thing.
Yes, which is make it harder for people to get guns in this country. Okay. One thing that then happens is that Hannah wants to confront Melissa.
Because they're at the school. So I think the first part of this scene is like Hannah and Caleb talking. And Hannah becomes so frustratingly dismissive, I think, while Caleb is bringing up the 38, the gun. I think that's why I wrote that. Because then I'm like, Hannah's still on a war path and she like, exactly, is kind of going up to Spencer and like going in on Melissa a little bit.
Yes. And then
there's a lot going on.
There's a lot. And then we see, I think this is wherever, are the girls at school or
they're outside the school. There's a lot of scenes this season outside the school.
Interesting.
Or at least so far, like Emily and Pam, like grabbing the arm thing, same location.
Well, what's happening is the girls are outside of school and little Miss Contini, as I'm calling her, otherwise known as Detective Tanner, is here and she's on the case. She's in the car with King Mulbrook, Hottie, Sean Farris.
Sexy. And I just spotted my manners.
because he's beautiful. And they're watching the girls. And
because you're like, the camera pans and you're like, who's watching them? You know what? Like, it's an A thing, but then it's like, who's this? What did you say? Contini?
Contini.
Who's this Contini?
She is. She's giving Contini.
I'm so happy Tanner's here.
Me too.
I'm excited for the Tanner Holbrook Molbrook era.
It's important. It's important.
She says, if I dressed like that in high school, my dad would have had a stroke. Iconic. And then
iconic. And then also,
yuck, sexy Sean Farris says, I could have gotten used to it.
Yeah, another.
It's on theme.
It's on theme of creepy guys liking these teenage girls.
I was like,
men in power trying to fuck teenagers.
Let's not.
Also, one of them says, these four pretty girls that attract so many corpses. That's true.
That is a sentence you can say.
And another sentence has that comes from the girls, one of them. I don't even remember who's talking, but one of them says little lies. And I was like, okay.
Got a secret. Can you keep it? Speaking of which, the intro then happens.
Slays.
This is where I think last episode we talked about Spencer's hair.
Mm.
This is where Spencer's hair, in all caps, Spencer's hair looks beautiful.
Gorgeous.
It was kind of like side part, very smooth, but kind of like blow wavy.
Gorgine.
I don't know.
I love it.
Emily's,
I love it.
They're all in the courtyard and Emily's like, dad wants me to come home straight after school.
Ooh, and I'm like, great impression.
Thanks.
Your best work.
Wow. And I'm like, yeah. You had to dash, like, I understand that, yes, you guys, you have to go home to talk about all this, like, bullshit that's going on.
Yeah.
But you also, like, didn't get to see him this morning.
Yeah.
So why is it so hard to just go home? What are you doing?
You've not seen your dad for months.
Yeah,
go see your fucking dad.
The attitude annoyed me.
I don't know, attitude. Then one of them says, trouble starts when you start to shave the truth and it gets all twisted up. I'm like, well, maybe you could have realized that in the, like, I don't know, three
Who
seasons ago.
Who said that? Spencer or Aria?
I think.
Not Hannah.
I think Compliment. Aria. I think Aria says it for
I
some
think
reason.
So.
And then someone says to Aria, is your mum really
going to Austria with that muffin man? Hannah.
Important.
I do think, unless there's something else currently, that's my line of the episode.
Yeah, me too.
I found that so funny. Is your mum really going to Austria with that muffin man?
Incredible.
He runs a cafe, doesn't he? He like runs
If he's
it.
Going to Austria, I assume he'll be making strudel.
That's true.
As well.
Muffin okay? man.
Baking is important. Then.
At the brew?
No, next I have Victoria Slastings took the girls shopping and Spencer breaks and confesses to not getting into UPN. Is this at the.
No, I truly
No, it is at the brew. It is at the brew.
Assumed. Anytime they're in a place with a coffee cup, I'm like, the brew.
They are. They've already been shopping. The context is that they talk about shopping.
I love Melissa and Veronica Victoria Slastings Hastings chatting about like coats and like the. I'm truly like, this is a chat that I've had, like you have with your mom of like, well, like it was a bit expensive, but like the value of it's like really good and you need like this coat for like San Francisco. Like,
she's like, I'm going to be going on an internship to either San Francisco or London. Either
and she's
place,
like, we need it for the wind.
And then she's like, but what about my other coat? And she's like, Spencer, you can have Melissa's coat.
It was
giving sisters.
It was sisters and mother.
Girls.
It was real. Anyway, Spencer's in a shit mood. She tells him she's going to get into UPenn. Veronica thinks she's joking. Jest.
It's giving jest. And then we cut to Ashley Marin's office.
I love going to Ashley's work.
Me too. I love seeing women in STEM, you know. And Hannah's there. But Hannah goes to see her mum. No one's in the office. She just walks in and is there. And then all of a sudden, in walks Ashley with a big fat box. But right behind her is Detective Molbrook and Contini Tanner. Contana, if you will.
Contana. Compliment.
And we find out that in the box, it's like Wilden's safety deposit box that he kept at the bank. And inside they find money, lots of money, cash, an American and a Canadian passport. We find out dual citizenship.
Okay, work.
Get oot of his swamp.
Get oot.
And a gun.
Dun, dun, dun. A 38?
A 38 question mark? I don't know.
Couldn't tell ya.
Tanner is scary in the scene in a way that is cool.
And then I just wrote that the show is much stronger with Tanner and Holbrook over Wilden. Obviously, Wilden served a really good plot point, obviously. Yeah. And like we're still like playing with that plot point. But it's nice to have more of like like kind of like Kyle MacLachlan in Twin Peaks, of just like having yes. a more unbiased, for now, like point of view.
Imagine a Twin Peaks spin-off where Tanner is
with Agent Cooper.
She is Agent Cooper.
I would love that.
Stop stealing our ideas out there, everyone. Then Emily listens to her parents freaking the fuck out.
Oh, I also just wrote for that scene because I think Tanner is like, and this is the first time you've seen the contents of this box.
Oh, right? Or God, something. Yes.
And then Ashley goes like,
she just freezes.
Yes. That would be the first. Because I think Tanner like then is like, because I mean.
Right now.
Today, yeah.
Seeing it right now.
And then she's like, yes, that would be the first time. And I'm like, Ashley, you fool. And I just said, for a show so hell-bent on lying, everyone is very bad at lying.
Yes.
That's all.
Get better. Take a class. Then Emma's listening to her parents freak out. And then she goes to the doctor again. Dr. Vegas Nerve.
I'm over Viva Dr. Vargas storyline.
Me too. She goes to him and she's like, I'm desperate. Like, hey, like, no, just like, did you go to the child protective services? Don't worry. Everything's fine. It's like, this is not helping your case, doll. It's making it seem like someone has definitely abused you. And that's not, it's crazy.
And guess what? You've got a torn rotator cuff.
That's right, doll.
So don't get back in the pool.
Get out of the water.
You can't swim with a rotator cuff that's torn.
You can't swim, but you are swimming in treacherous waters. If you keep lying and go to the doctor alone. I would never have gone to the doctors alone at this age. I don't think I went to the doctors by myself until I was 19.
Dr. Vargas is so like mild-mannered as well for like this plot line.
Get rid of him.
Get rid.
Then I've written Hannah's outfit.
Is so, what did you write?
So they're in like the town square, just a flopping in the town square, and she's just a flopping in this outfit.
Mm.
Tanner's just sitting there looking through case on files on a park bench. It's a beautiful day, but really
they'd fly away. They'd fly. Also, you'd have a laptop.
Then
FaceTime existed.
It did. If FaceTime could be an episode
title. You have a laptop, you have like a Mac. What?
If FaceTime existed, you have a MacBook.
FaceTime existed, title of it. Or whatever you
FaceTime said. Existed, exclamation mark, exclamation mark. Exclamation
it existed.
Mark. And so did laptops. Put those goddamn files away, save a tree.
Jesus. I just want to say, I also wrote in all caps, Hannah's outfit is so ugly, wow.
It is crazy.
What, so did she write it down?
She strolls on up to Dr. Tanner. Dr. Tanner.
I mean, I believe it. She'd have a PhD in like a cool like literature thing though. It wouldn't be like related to what she does.
No, yeah,
it'd be like
philosophy.
Yeah. That would be cool.
She's wearing, really high chunky black heels, black jeans, a yellow top that is
The newspaper.
It's like magazine cutouts that says fashion.
I'm sick of rumors starting. Yeah. And like maybe a red jacket or like
a red blazer.
I think it was like the top was the most kind of egregious thing. Of like, I don't mind like a newspaper print, but it was because it was yellow.
It was hideous.
It wasn't it.
And it said fashion on it as if it was fashionable, but it was not.
Stop it.
Then Hannah is...
She's playing with fire. She talks to Tanner. She like sits down with Tanner. It's very like kind of cute in like a maternal. Like I just like, oh, you're really like talking to Tanner, I guess.
It's a good display, I guess, of Hannah's naivete.
Oh yeah, true. Oh yeah, because like she starts talking about Wilden and I'm like, you are playing with like someone that is about to like get you.
Yeah. She's basically being like, oh, you should look at like Melissa.
Throws Melissa under Hastings. The bus.
I heard that they were friends.
Always in like on the boat in Cape May.
And then she's like, did you ever go on his boat?
Yeah, Lieutenant like flips the script.
Flippy Scrippy.
And then Caleb has to like come in and Flippy Scrippy. Caleb has to come in and save the day.
As he always does.
And then I wrote.
And he's like, I've been waiting for you. Come on, let's go. And then they're walking away and he's like.
Stop it.
Flop it.
You're
drop
being
it.
Dumb and that t-shirt ugly.
Being I dumb, that t-shirt you. Ugly. These cops are not like Rosewood's finest. They are State Department cuntinis and they will get you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then I wrote, Tanner is cunt. Compliment.
She is. She's cuntini. Then.
Oh, and then it's all, Hannah goes, I know what I'm doing, okay? And then me and Caleb at the same time said, no, you don't. Caleb, voice of the audience.
Voice of us. Voice of the people. Voice of the near peoples. Then Spoberky passionate kiss as Toberky goes to meet Dr. Palmer.
It was Saratoga. Saratoga.
Saratoga. Whatever it is we respect. And Dr. Palmer was his mother's doctor at Radley when she was there. So he's going to find out more information. And the girls are trying to figure out the whole Melissa stuff. And they're like, we got to figure out a way to know what the heck is going on, why there was a mask on her face, why she's seeing the detective. Nah. And then Pages of the Brew. Haven't seen Paige in ages.
I was thinking that.
Ages of Pages and Pages of Ages for so long. And then Emily's scared about her shoulder and I'm sick of this shoulder shit.
Sick of the shoulder shit. They kiss. Oh, like, because I think Emily, Paige is like kind of, I think being flirty, like talking about how like the shoulder gives Paige an edge, like as in like, oh good, now I can shave like some time. And then Emily goes, you're a very competitive person. And Dale made a very astute point. He was like, I think that line was meant to be flirty and she is not good at acting.
Yes.
And I'm like, you have summed up.
You have clocked it, King.
Our journey thus far. But because it is just like, you're a very competitive person. And I'm like, what the fuck?
What the fuck?
Like, yeah, she's a pro swimmer. Absolutely. Anyway.
Then
Aria and Jake walking around Rosewood.
And then there's a Malcolm jump scare. He just Faust approaches.
Fan Malcolm rocks up.
Fan Faust fave.
Dumb from watching the cartoons, of course. Right?
Lost his mind, sees Aria, and he's like, oh,
why don't I see you anymore?
Why don't you come over anymore?
And she's like, oh, what a hard question to answer. It's like, I don't know. You're an adult. Like, just be like, okay, it is a hard question. I don't have an answer. It's like, oh, I'm busy. I don't know. I'm at school.
I got better. I don't care about you anymore, kid. She could say that.
Yeah, that's a cool thing to say.
Then she decides to tell Jake about Ezra. I think now we're not in the town square anymore or somewhere else.
No, this is weird.
Or okay, is it so, in the thing?
No, you're right. Like, so
it looks like they're at Emily's porch.
At the end, yeah, which must be like the Montgomery porch.
Everyone's porching.
Everyone has a porch, which is great. I think when they're before that weird cut, like, so when they're still on the street, Jake, I think, is like, who's Ezra?
Yeah.
Which I think is like too perceptive. Like, that's too like writers. I'm like, I don't think Jake is like that perceptive.
Jake's dumb.
He's okay, dumb.
No offense, but he's
and
dumb.
And then the scene just cuts. There obviously was an ad break because then it just does cut to them.
Porching.
Usually you'd have a scene in the middle.
Yes.
Like, let's check in on Spoby. But yeah, then we do cut to them on the porch and Aria has told him everything about Ezra.
Yes. And they also talk about Black and White movies.
And this.
Get out of it.
It's a different world.
This is a moment where we like Jake because he rejects Aria because she tells him the story of everything with Ezra and then she tries to kiss him and he's like, you think I'm going to kiss you after you tell me a story like that?
He's like, you need to sort your shit out.
Absolutely.
And he's nice and she's like, can I call you? And he's like, yeah.
Which is nice.
I like that. And I'm like,
get a boy. Then Ashley is freaking oot to Hannah, but she's not flat out saying that she didn't kill Wilden, which she should just fucking say those words. Say you didn't kill him and then things will be better, you know? And then Toberky with Palmer or at Saratoga.
Dale's in Saratoga. Dale notes that Dr. Palmer has NPC energy.
He does. He's just sitting on a bench waiting for someone.
And then just like gives you info, like is so like, oh, hello, here's your next mission.
Yeah.
Or here's some information.
Which is what he does. Toberky's trying to find out if his mother was pushed instead of like fell and keeps asking questions about a situation. He's like, but with it, you know, what's going on? And Dr. Palmer says, there were forces that were just too much for her. And he's like, forces? Do you mean people? What are you talking about? And then Dr. Palmer all of a sudden is very, after being completely coherent and speaking in ways that made sense, very conveniently incoherent.
Yes, because the first time he's like, the air was too heavy. I'm like, I get that. Like,
yeah, some people, the air is too heavy for them.
And then he's like, no, the air is literally heavy.
And he's like, that's what I've been studying here. And then he's like, what, do you work here? He's like, no, I'm familiar with stuff, but I live here. So you find out he's like a patient. And it's like, I guess an old folks home maybe.
And or like a
mental facility of some kind.
And then he offers Toberky a macaroon, which he rejects. I would eat it.
I would eat it.
Okay. I would eat a Dr. Palmer.
And he also says to him as he's about to leave, bring your mother next time.
Which, you know, I'm like, oh, he's not
He's not well. He's not here. And then he goes, and would you tell her to stay away from that girl?
That's so Hail Mary. Like every like few episodes, there is like a Hail Mary NPC line where it's like, we got nothing out of this. Nothing.
Nothing.
This person gave us nothing. And then it's like, oh, and tell that blonde 14-year-old bitch to keep her
yellow top clean.
Yeah. That I don't want to talk about the diary. And everyone's like, oh, well, now I have to go, like, look at the thing. Anyway, he was just like, stay away from the blonde girl. Something wrong with the air around that one.
Something wrong with the air around him, unfortunately. Then Melissa is having a wine and Spencer is, oh my God. Okay, so it's Spencer and I think Emily outside with her. Is it Aria?
I think it's Aria.
And she's filming on her little iPhone. Okay.
They've planted a trap.
They've put like a suitcase in the middle of the lounge room or near the kitchen in Diet House. And then Spencer and Aria are like filming and Spencer's just like commentating the whole time. She's like,
I do love the commentary.
Which is so funny. She's like, it's good. Okay, yeah, look in there, Melissa. Why would that be here? Ooh, what's in there?
Ooh.
And they see Melissa opens a suitcase under everything. There's her original mask mold. And then Spencer's like, so what are you going to do? What are you going to do? She starts to leave the house. They follow her.
And at this point, I did write TBH Melissa, close your damn blinds.
Absolutely.
Like it's nighttime.
It's one of the times we're grateful they're open.
Yeah. And I'm glad they're open for the show, but like you should shut them.
You should shut them.
You should shut them. You know, people watch NIT Club.
Then Emily freaks out and runs away into the night because her parents are.
Emily's
arguing.
So flop at the mo. She's so flop.
Is it that
they're all yelling? She keeps digging herself into a hole. I couldn't tell you. She yells at her parents a bunch and then she like runs into the night.
Literally runs into the night. And then her parents basically hint at A being back. They're like, has it started again? And it's like, oh my God, they should, because she's not telling them anything. She's not confessing as to what happened to her shoulder, why she took the drug. She's being all fucked. And they're like, someone hurting you, is it happening again? She runs into the night. And then the goddamn detectives.
Hannah and Caleb are talking in the dark hallway about Ashley's situation.
Spooky.
In the house, which of course. This is where I really had this thought of like, because it feels like every Hannah and Caleb scene at the moment, maybe, just because I was like, man, every line from Hannah at the moment is like, well, if my mom was in like New York and like the gun is here and this detail's there and detail.
When did they last?
Why would she do that? Yeah. And it's always like detail, question. Every single, and like, which is how the show, but I was like, I'm very sick of detail, question.
I know.
There's a lot. And then Tanner and Holbrook rock up. It's very late at night.
It is. And Hannah's like, oh, my mom's not here. And then they're like, but her car's in the driveway. And Caleb saves the day once again. And he's like, oh, yeah.
I picked it up.
From the shop or I washed it or something. So that's why. And they send them away. And then the second that the car's driven away, we see Ashley Marin just like peek her head around the stairs.
And she just kind of looks at them.
And she's like,
And then like,
and then just goes back. Terrifying.
I like that.
Oh my God, Ashley, just tell Hannah what happened.
Oh my God.
Like, just say the words that you didn't kill him because now everyone thinks that you have. Fuck. We love you, but you're flopping.
We love you.
Then,
flop era. Rare miss.
Then Spencer and Aria follow Melissa, and Melissa has fled to
Hector's House of Wax.
Oh my, which of course doesn't have any wax. It's ceramic sisms.
We know that.
But they follow her and she is carrying carrying a heavy Hessian sack out that she's dragging along the floor out of Hector's house, which is like, oh, and I think Aria
Hector's
says
like I've never had so many hot chicks come to like my house in one, probably 24
week.
Hours knowing the time span.
Absolutely. And then Aria says like, do you think that bag's big enough to be Hector? Which I thought the same thing.
Funny.
So, and then Spencer goes to follow Melissa and then Aria's like, okay, I guess I'm alone, and then goes into the back room of Hector's House of Wax. Why would you do that?
Don't do that.
Get out of there.
And then she finds a shit ton of Ally masks.
Six more, I think I counted.
AKA a shit ton.
Six is, of course, a shit ton.
A shit ton.
She finds out from Hector that Allison came alone.
Also, but like she like fully confronts, like just before you say that, she like confronts him.
Yes.
She's like, oi! And I'm like, I wouldn't like, this man is weird. I would like flirt with him. Be like, oh my God, like I love these masks.
I'm back just because I couldn't get away from your
And allure. Then I'd ask the question, but she's like, oi, cunt. I don't know what she
which
says.
Which I kind of like.
Anyway.
She's sick of his shit.
I'm just scared of him.
I'm scared of him too. But also...
She's a fine old girl, so it's fine.
She's fine. Old girl. And then she basically finds out that, they're in a flashback that we see, of course, that Allison... like comes back to him after having signed up to be the Joan of Arc mask or whatever, and is like, "Give me my money. You haven't given me my money yet." And he gives her a bunch of money. He's like, "I'll give you the rest."
She was, yeah, she was like, she was like, "How much do you have?" He's like, "This," and it's like less than what she's owed. She's like, "I'll take it," and she like runs.
And he's like, "I'll give you the rest next time I see you." And she disappears.
You'll never see me again
because I'm gonna disappear. And then also basically the reason that we see this scene is because Arya asks, was she with anyone? He's like, only one time. And what he references is that when she runs out, he follows her out and sees that she gets into a car and someone drives away, but he doesn't see who's driving. Also, we have to mention in this entire flashback scene, he's wearing a do-rag.
He is.
He's wearing a do-rag. What's going on? First do-rag Toberky, now do-rag Hectos.
There was someone in the costume department that was like, I'm just kind of like into that. I'm feeling it.
I'm feeling it for these white men.
And Ali's wearing a different a very corporate blouse.
Ugh.
Like a nice, like it's like colorful, but it's very like spring corporate.
Yeah. And then back in current day, Spencer sees Melissa
at the dock.
At the goddamn dock next to Hector's swamp, smashing all of her masks like against a rail and throwing them in his
which is
lake.
A very like. Surely you would like hear the other car. Like, I don't know. It's a very like big thing to do.
Yeah.
I feel like you would hear or see like other headlights pull up in this space. I don't know.
I don't know. She's it's being crazy.
Big. It's very big.
And then Spencer confronts Melissa finally. And this is one of the most infuriating scenes in the whole show, I think.
Oh, yeah.
This is crazy. Okay. We get so much information, but also nothing because. Yep.
So Melissa realizes that Mona had the Ali mask on. Of the Halloween train.
So basically, they have back and forth where Spencer asks very valid questions. Melissa does not answer them. She tells these few bits of information, which are, like you said, that she was on the Halloween train and she was wearing one of the Queen of Hearts costumes. The other person who was wearing it was Wilden, but they were not like there together. Someone sent Wilden there to try and kill the girls, which is crazy. Melissa sent Jenna and Shauna to watch the girls at the lodge, not to kill them, just to watch them.
And someone else dragged them from the fire.
And she doesn't know who. But she sent them to watch the girls because she wanted to know who they were meeting.
And I'm pretty sure when I can't remember, but I'm pretty sure Spencer kind of goes like, Ali, maybe? And then Melissa's like, you're fucked. No, why would you say that?
And apparently she says that Wilden set the lodge fire.
Yes. Important. And that like... Wilden tried to kill Spencer and Wilden has been blackmailing Melissa to do and like a few people to do his bidding.
And then Spencer asks, Melissa, did you kill Detective Wilden?
And she goes, let it go, Spencer. Or maybe she's like, let it go. I don't know how
she,
that.
She says let it go and then she
I'm like,
basically,
that's not an answer to the question.
She's like, you don't know what I'm protecting people. I'm protecting you or something. You don't know what I've been doing. Or what?
Just
I've,
tell me.
It's so annoying. And it's just so annoying. And
it's a, it's caps, a nothing.
It's nothing.
Scene.
In all caps, I wrote, let her answer all the other important questions you asked first, cunt.
Yep.
Answer the fucking questions. She doesn't answer any of the important questions that I didn't write down.
Melissa flop.
Melissa,
but we know
huge
that.
Flop. Then
Tori DeVito. Great.
Great. Tori DeVito.
Tori DeVito.
Then we smash cut to Paige swimming.
I hate a night pool scene.
Night pool, get out.
But the good thing is.
It's just Emily coming.
It's Emily that's there.
Emily coming.
I wrote nothing more for that scene. I think they talk about the shoulder.
I wrote sad.
Sad. I don't. Couldn't tell you. Mm.
Then Arya comes
catches
along
up with Spencer.
To Spencer. Melissa. And this is one of the most infuriating parts of the episode also. She's like, what happened? Where's Melissa? And Spencer just looks at the floor and is like, it doesn't matter. She's gone.
But it does matter. Like, it's so... These Hastings girls...
Answer her! Okay? Infuriating. I can't
Everyone is truly... And look, they're all going through a lot.
I don't care.
I give them grace.
No.
Everyone is annoying me at the moment.
I'm not giving them any more grace. Tell us.
Tell us.
Fuck you. Then...
Oh, yeah. And then I just realized my... I assume that Emily pool scene before just ends with like the Emily reveal because then I have like Paige and Emily. Emily is sad about her shoulder and swimming future.
Yeah,
that's
and,
it.
And Paige, they're talking about like how maybe Paige, oh, sorry, Emily won't be able to swim anymore because of her injury.
Mm.
And then Paige says, Em, we can find another dream. Yeah, that's okay for you, who isn't injured permanently doing her dream. May not
Paige
be.
Is like, we shaved that millisecond off the PB, the team PB or whatever.
Yeah, fuck you.
Paige is cooking.
She's cooking, although she invented the wet look here. Hair's wet.
Her hair is soaked. And then I think this scene kind of goes into a classic walk through the neighborhood at night where there are cop cars outside of the Fields house.
And someone has called the police.
Because Emily made it look, I'm like blaming
Emily ran
Emily.
Off into
Emily
the night.
Emily made it look really bad. Your dad is like, yeah, your mom is like, you have a complicated relationship with your mom. Your dad's great. Your dad's literally great.
He's the best man, minus Byron, of course, in Rosewood. And it's just fucked. Someone has called the police saying that they had a domestic.
Which is not great for the case against one Pam Fields.
No,
locked
it is
out
not.
Of heaven.
And soon locked out of that picture on the phone.
Then
Shay
Aria
Mitchell.
Lights, oh, you
can
would,
I just
please.
This is very important to me.
Oh, good.
Shay Mitchell says shouting. She says the word shouting in the most. She says shout.
Oh my
she
god, she's
so Canadian.
Dale picked up on that too.
Yeah, she's like, why are you shouting?
I love that.
And I was like, oh Canada, you know, like it was wonderful.
That's amazing. I'm great. Glad yours was silly because my next note's also silly.
Go.
It's Aria lights a kettle with the biggest flames I've ever seen. Did you write that down?
I wrote, Aria, get an electric kettle.
Also, because my dad made us use those like, yeah, gas kettles because he wanted to like help the environment, which God bless.
Pete.
He has gone back to an electric kettle. We have an electric kettle. They take so long. This boils in like 30 seconds.
Which is not realistic.
Not real.
Can I say also from my time when I lived in LA, there are very few, like, electric kettles are not the norm.
Oh my God. No, when I went to America, it was like so hard to make a cup of tea anywhere.
Yeah. I had to like order one online and couldn't find one in a fucking store.
People did not have kettles. You literally, when you move into your home or you go to hotels, like anywhere, the basic amenities are like milk, tea, and a kettle in Australia. Like you have to have kettle and tea and a toaster. Like they are like very basic amenities.
The fact that there are not electric kettles and they still use checks. They still have checks to pay people. I don't think I've seen a check in this country since 1997.
And I think our huge majority of our audience
is American. So we're sorry.
And we're opening up the floor for you guys to complain about that if you want.
We just want you to know that there are other things that could be happening. Get an electric kettle. You can get one online. If you're using a fucking stove, I mean, but the environment.
And if you do, let us know.
Let us know
Bond
if we've influenced you at all in making choices. I don't know.
So while the kettle, the flame, there's just huge, very powerful gas. Spencer,
you know,
and Aria.
Why? Probably fuel by Ezra's farts.
His body be bubbling. Spencer and Aria get an A text and it says, Melissa's, Melissa's
Malala?
Malala.
Malala is A.
Melissa and Malala, one and the same. Melissa's guilty of plenty, but she's not A material.
Kisses A, which is shady and funny and cunty, which I think
devastating
is
devastating for Melissa.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think that's like, that could be seen as, like, I don't really think, I don't know. It could be seen as like a clue as like, well, this person doesn't like Melissa. Interesting. Mm. Then.
Who does?
Hannah thinks her mum killed Wilden.
Yeah, she shows up to the girls as
obviously.
Well. And she reckons A knows that too.
Yes.
Like, my mom killed Wilden and A knows it. The kettle boils immediately. Oh, that's my next note.
Yeah.
I think that's the end of the episode because it's like, whoa!
Then there's an A scene where A is gluing back the pieces of the Melissa mask from Hector's swamp. And that is the ep.
That is the ep.
Crazy.
No trivia for you. I reckon let's just dive into the segments. I also did look through the wiki comments because I do like sharing them, but I couldn't really find like one that was as funny as the last one I read out.
Then let's go segs.
So let's go segments, segrolls. Head to our Instagram, call.and.adult. Check out our pinned post where we break down these segments. Also, if you just like go there and follow us and talk to us because we love you.
We love you. And if you're not already following our Patreon, then you will have, if you can, there'll be more episodes for you.
Segments. Who is the hottest adult of this episode? I'm going to say Tana because she's here. Oh, yeah, Wayne. Oh. Wayne.
I'm going Wayne.
You have, like, and I just think Tana because Cantarini. What did you say? Cantalini?
Cantini.
Cantini.
Cantarini.
I'm trying to add syllables. Cantalini. I'm just happy she's here.
Me too. Floating head in his camouflage outfit.
Sexy.
Sexy man.
Wasn't enough Wayne in this episode?
Hopefully soon we get more.
What was the yikes of the episode?
Melissa and Spencer not asking that whole conversation.
Yeah, and just the fact that it was at the House of Wax as well.
Fucked.
Yeah, I think that's it. Who gets a buttercream from us? Daddy Hastings. Caleb. He's come in clutch a few times.
Absolutely.
With Hannah.
Absolutely. Hannah should also have one because she's having a hard time.
She is, yeah.
Ashley Marin should have 1,000 buttercreams.
Yeah. I'm not going to give Ashley Marin wine at the moment because I think she needs a clear head.
I'm also going to give Jake a buttercream for being reasonable about not.
Yes.
Like, don't kiss me after you've told me that you were groomed by a pedophile.
And Dr. Palmer to just sit and enjoy.
Enjoy, King. With your macaroon.
Enjoy it. Who needs to wait for crazy bread from Noel Kahn?
Melissa.
Like, get that. What gave us a hardcover, honestly, what made us erect? Probably anytime Sean Farris was on screen.
Absolutely. As well as Wayne Fields.
Wayne Fields. Floating head.
Floating head. Give me floating head.
What made us flaccid? Soft cover. What gave us a soft cover?
Malcolm jump scare.
Yeah, definitely.
Didn't like that.
No.
Didn't like that.
Who gets a wine from King Byron Fish Lips? Byron.
Ashley Marin gets like a bathtub full of wine, I think.
I don't want her going near wine at the moment.
I think if she's locking herself in the house and hiding, it's okay because she's not going to do anything bad.
All right. I just wanted to have like a clear head. I'm taking the wine away from Melissa because she's flop. Like when Melissa poured herself wine, I'm like, no, you're flop.
You're flop.
I think Pam and Wayne, definitely.
They should have more wine. I would also like to give Hannah a wine because she's having a hard time. Her and Caleb, like you said, they've not really been able to have like time to themselves. Let them have a sexy underage wine.
No, they were like, I'm glad their relationship's like okay, but a lot of it is kind of Hannah like dealing with some heavy stuff and then Caleb really supporting her.
Issues with both of their parents have been like the main thing going on with them.
Yeah. Blech. And what was the line of the episode?
What? Let me just find my notes for a second.
Did we have anything like that?
I think it is
funny.
Yes, I think it's. Is your mum really going to Austria with that muffin man?
Oh, no doubt.
Absolutely, Gwen Stefani's no doubt.
Because I think I like called him muffin man later in my notes, and then I never read out that note. Maybe because I'm like, oh, Zach is forever muffin man,
Mr. Muff.
Okay, that's perfect, and that's it.
Wow. Another episode done.
Wow.
What a gift. And everyone out there at home, wherever you are, you know, we need to just urge you
to close your damn blinds. Right? Shut them.
Don't be like Melissa. Oh! Synergy. That was synergy right there.
That was hectic.
That was Hectos. And he's like,
I'm going to miss Hector.
Maybe he'll be back.
Hope so.
I hope not.
Creepy guy.
This has been a joy, Haley.
It's been really fun.
I love you.
I love you so much, Ash. Listeners, watchers,
cucks.
We love you.
We love you, cucks. We love you.
And I hope you have a wonderful day and week ahead.
And if you're not already, you know, if you're watching this, subscribe to the goddamn YouTube channel.
Yeah.
All right. If you're not following our Patreon, get on our goddamn Patreon if you want weekly content.
Weekly Ash and Haley. Wow.
Wow. It's not just.
It's so fun over there. We're loving doing the bonus eps. Like, it's incredible.
We've got PLL related eps, and then we've also got things that are interactive.
We've got Q&As and stuff.
So much more.
I don't know. Go over there. It's fun.
We love you.
We love you.
And Haley.
Yeah.
Oh. I should have followed your lead.
Toberky.
Beautiful listeners, if you didn't know, we actually have a Patreon, which we call The Dollhouse. So come hang out in our dollhouse.
We also have a YouTube channel. So if you want to watch this episode and other episodes, head to our YouTube channel and subscribe.
And you can find all updates at our Instagram or look in the episode show notes.
We love ya.
We love you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Call an Adult. We appreciate you more than Allison appreciates immortality, my darlings. Please give the show some love by giving us a 5-star rating and review on your podcast platform of choice.
You can stay up to date on episodes by following our Instagram at call.an.adult as well as our respective Instagrams at Ashley Crapapp and at Hayley Tanto. Have a lovely day, and don't forget,
shut your damn blinds!
See ya! Call an Adult is recorded on the stolen lands of the Boonwurrung and Woiwurrung people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to the traditional custodians of the land. Sovereignty was never ceded.